Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, God's warning against spiritual hardness. Interesting subject here. A number of the members of our church have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and they often seek support in biblical truth to counter the strong errant indoctrination they experienced in their past. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological trust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. We thus view Hebrews chapter 6, 1-8 on God's warning against the spiritual hardness of reverting back to errant beliefs. This is a warning that serves our needs for insight, application, and edification as follows. It's interesting, there's a movement, a significant movement in evangelical circles to go back into, I think it's Greek Orthodox or one of these backgrounds, even by people who were at one time children or sons and daughters of evangelical leaders. They're actually going back into that. So this is very, very applicable in our era. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 8. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth with drinketh in the rain and that cometh often upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Okay, having warned his readers back in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, to mature in spiritual discernment, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews admonished them to go beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and go on into maturity. Now, though the readers needed one to teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God, he mentioned that back in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the author preferred radical surgery and decided to pull them forward as rapidly as he could. The author's reason for pressing his readers to go on into deeper doctrines was that trying to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection and eternal judgment, was actually impossible for his readers. And this is explained in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4b to 6. I hadn't noticed this before. I was looking at the Bible Knowledge Commentary. But this section of Scripture is written to Jews. This is very important. Jews who had converted from Judaism to Christianity. So it has tremendous application if you look at it through Jews. And that helps us get us away from a lot of misunderstandings about this passage. So, this passage of Hebrews 6, 4b to 6 has long been misunderstood in three major ways. Some hold that the passage warns of a loss of one's salvation status in Christ. But many passages like John chapter 5, verse 24 assure us believers that in our salvation, it is unconditionally eternal secured in Christ. See, some think of falling away means falling away from being saved. But in John 5:24, Jesus says, he that believes on me has once for all, it's a perfect tense, passed out of darkness over into life. And the past is in a perfect tense, and it's perfect passive, which means he has been passed by God once for all out of darkness into light. So you can't pass yourself back. God has passed you over. And God does something. You can't undo what God does. So it's an amazing, wonderful truth that we have unconditional salvation security. Now, others believe that the warning is against a mere profession of faith that is short of salvation, or tasting but not really partaking of salvation. That's actually found in the New Schofield Reference Bible. But the author had truly saved people in mind. Those who he discussed had been enlightened. That's often used of believers. They had tasted of the heavenly gift of salvation. That's only a believer. They were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and accordingly, that happens only to sons of God, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So if we're talking about believers here. They were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and they had tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Okay. Still others teach that the author was claiming that if a Christian could lose his salvation, there's no provision for repentance. In other words, you get one stab at it, and if you lose your salvation, that's it. Forget about it. But it's interesting, in John 6:37, in the English Standard Version, Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." In my hometown in Chico, California, there was a pastor who was pastoring the Nazarene Church. The Nazarenes, of course, they believe you can get saved and then you can lose your salvation. But he was reading this passage in Hebrews chapter 6, and he said, if this passage says that you can lose your salvation, you could never get it again. And yet, he saw that Jesus said in John 6:37, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So he says, if you could lose your salvation, Jesus would still have you saved again. So he says, I'm in the wrong church. So he came to our church and he said, would you please ordain me as a Baptist? I got to get out of the Nazarene church. So we ordained him as a Baptist. And last I heard, he was pastoring a Baptist church down in the central part of California. So the passage cannot be saying that if a Christian can lose his salvation, there's no provision of repentance. Actually, there's only one interpretation that fits the context and that is credible. The view that Hebrews 6, 4b to 6, warned Hebrew, this is very important, Hebrew believers, that they could become so hardened against a life of true faith that they could be irreversibly disqualified for future service and blessing. Now, the phrase, if they fall away, in Hebrews 6:6a, in this view, refers to a defection from Christianity back into errant Judaism, a step that for Hebrew believers meant joining their countrymen and crucifying the Son of God again and subjecting him to a public disgrace. This is uniquely Jewish. By renouncing the Christian faith, they as Hebrews reaffirmed the view of Jesus' enemies that he deserved to die on a cross, thus crucifying the Son of God all over again. See, the Jewish people felt that Jesus deserved to die on the cross because they thought that he was an imposter. And that's why they put him on the cross and they mocked him when he was on the cross. So if you're a Jew and you become a Christian and you want to revert back to Judaism, you have to adopt the viewpoint of your Jewish countrymen, which means that you repudiate Christ. And if you repudiate Christ, you're feeling that he needs to be crucified all over again. So this is very Jewish. So Hebrew believers, hardened this way, could not possibly lay a foundation of new repentance, for they would not trust in Jesus, whom they'd repudiated as deserving the cross when they returned to Judaism. Well, the author of Hebrews used an illustration from nature to explain this warning. And he likens the heart of a believer here as ground, either good ground or bad ground. A productive, maturing Hebrew believer in Christ is like a plot of ground that absorbs the rain that comes upon it, and it produces a crop that is useful to God and thereby enjoys divine blessings. I know the Slate family in our midst here is involved. They grow a lot of plants and everything. It's very important to have good soil, I would imagine. If you have poor soil, you can't do anything with it. But if it's good soil, it's a tremendous help. However, a Hebrew believer who renounces Christ is like the soil that absorbs the rain that comes on it only to produce thorns and thistles, so that it is worthless or disapproved, adokamos, and in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned, suggesting an unproductive Christian life ultimately that falls under severe condemnation of God. The burning here isn't about burning and going to hell. It's what they do with the ground that produces weeds. You burn it. You burn the weeds down, get rid of the seeds and all that, and then you start over. So the burning here is part of the illustration of the ground. It's not talking about going into hell. So God warned Hebrew believers in Christ not to revert to past errant Judaism, but to go on into deeper spiritual truths in the Christian faith or suffer irreversible spiritual hardening and severe divine discipline. Now, we can apply this, even though we're not Jewish. I don't know of anybody here who's Jewish, but anyway, I'm assuming no one here is Jewish. But anyway, may we heed God's warning not to revert to former errant beliefs we may have held, but go on into deeper truths of the biblical faith, that we not suffer irreversible spiritual hardening and severe divine discipline. I don't know of anyone in our church who's being tempted to go back. The vast majority of people who have come from an errant religious background tell me they're so grateful that they're out of where they were in, and they feel sorry for people who are still back in it. But it's something that God wants us to make sure. Once he has led us away from that which is false, he wants us to keep that stand, and he wants us to go on into maturity. He doesn't want us to fool around with debating whether we should believe this or not. God wants us to put a period and then move on. He wants us to keep maturing in the Lord. Now, there is a danger. There are some people that will revert back to this and who will flirt with the errant beliefs that they had come from, and that's a very dangerous thing. I think of evangelicals and Catholics together. It's called ECT. Chuck Colson and company went back to that area, and that's a real problem. But God wants us to go on and to grow in him. So God help us to continue to mature in him.